So good morning, everyone. My name is Sunny Thalery. I'm the missions chairman here at Woodbridge Community Church. Let us stand as we read God's word today. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17 says this: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Lastly, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with open hearts and minds, seeking guidance and understanding as we listen to this sermon. I ask you to be with me this morning and bless me to speak with wisdom and clarity of thought, that I may effectively convey your message to all of us. May we be receptive to your word, and may they inspire us to live our lives in accordance with your will. Help us to be present in this moment and to be open to the messages that you have for us. I ask these few things in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So the title for today's sermon is Woodbridge Community Church a missions-minded church? The short answer for this is yes. Look around you. Turn to your neighbor. See your neighbor this morning. We all are here from different race, different culture, different ethnicity, different foods, as we saw yesterday at the mission fair. Let's do this exercise this morning. It's been a while that we have done this. So I want you all to stand up, please, one more time. I want everyone to please stand up one more time. I'm sorry. Okay. Now I want anyone who is born in the United States, please sit down. If you were born in the United States, please sit down. Okay. So who do we start with? Where were you born? Philippines?
Yeah, Philippines.
Same. Over there? El Salvador. Hong Kong. Oh, I'm sorry. Japan. Okay, let me write down. Japan, Hong Kong, Philippines, El Salvador. Who else?
Canada.
Who else? Singapore. Okay.
Canada.
China. Okay. Here?
India.
Philippines. Okay, anyone else?
Brazil,
okay. I heard
Nigeria,
okay. Who else?
Zimbabwe.
Okay.
Romania.
Okay. Who else? Did I miss anyone else? She's German? Okay. Anyone else? Oh, Persia.
Taiwan,
Thailand. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. You can sit down. I just counted 16. 16 nationalities are here. Some of my family and friends outside this church said this to me, you know, "Your church is big on missions. I've never seen such a small church so focused on missions." How many missionaries do you support? I want to answer that question today, right? But first I want you to take you through a journey that where we see Jesus commanding his disciples to follow him. I will show you today where Woodbridge Church stands in fulfilling this command of following by sharing the news from the mission field and what kind of impact this small church in Irvine is making around the world. One of our church's main principles is to meet, know, and follow Christ. We hear this from our pastors on a weekly basis. Most of us here have met Christ and know him personally. But what does it mean to follow Christ? In what way do we follow Christ? And what do we do by following Christ? Let us see what the scripture said that we read this morning. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. In this passage, we see the most well-known call to a mission in the Bible. If you grew up in Sunday school, we heard this passage several times. We have heard the story and have been encouraged to heed the words, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." But if you are new to the Christian faith, this story seems a bit strange. After all, who just drops everything they're doing to follow some wandering preacher? Sounds strange to me. I mean, seriously, does Matthew or anyone else for that matter expect us to believe that Jesus was such a compelling person that these four fishermen would drop everything to follow him around the countryside? Yet, this whole story is about the call of Jesus Christ to a mission and a purpose. As we explore their calling, perhaps we can learn a bit about our own calling to be on a mission. So let's see what we can learn. If you would like to follow my sermon, please take down these notes in the bulletin. Well, the first one is, missions is a call. Missions is a call. Once a one-legged school teacher from Scotland came to J. Hudson Taylor to offer himself for service in China. "With only one leg, why do you think of going as a missionary?" asked Taylor. "I do not see those with two legs going," replied George Scott. He was accepted immediately. We learn Jesus' call to his mission. First, Jesus came to these fishermen's brothers. His ministry has been ongoing in the area around the Sea of Galilee. He has been baptized by John the Baptist. He had preached. He had gone into the synagogues. And John's gospel indicates that he even set up a household in the village of Capernaum along the shores of Sea of Galilee. The likelihood is Jesus had encountered this fisherman before. They likely had heard his teachings, and Jesus reached out to them to call them into the kingdom. Was this Jesus' first encounter with Peter? We discover by reading John's gospel that Jesus already had an encounter with Andrew and Peter, and likely John as well. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. One day Jesus walked by, and John the Baptist says in John chapter 1, 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was saying to his disciples that this is the guy I was telling you about. He's the one. Andrew and other disciples that scholars believe was John, the son of Zebedee, followed after Jesus. To make a long story short, they hung out with Jesus for a while. Then Andrew went and found his brother Peter and said, "We found the Messiah." Peter got up, went with Andrew to meet Jesus. It was at this encounter that Jesus told Peter, whose name has been Simon to this point, that his name would be Peter. These men knew Jesus, but more importantly, Jesus knew them. And because he knew them, he called them to his mission to make disciples. Jesus called them to be disciples, to make disciples. Jesus knew they were common, ordinary fishermen, not like sitting out by the creek with a pole and a hook. They were commercial fishermen who made their living on the Sea of Galilee. The commercial fishing business was a tough trade in the first century. I mean, really, it's a tough business. One of my favorite shows on TV is Deadliest Catch on the Discovery Channel. Want to catch a glimpse of the life of a commercial fisherman? Watch this show. It's a brutal one. The life was brutal in the first century, too. It was hard, it was a dangerous work, and those who performed it were simple, hard-working men who only sought to make a living for their family. Most were not highly educated. Many couldn't even read and write. So what difference does it make? Because I say this because Jesus wasn't looking for highly qualified persons to fulfill his mission. He wasn't then and he isn't now. He was then and is now looking for ordinary people like you and me who are able to answer the call to be on a mission with faith. It doesn't take a smart person or an educated person or even a trained person to answer the call to discipleship and the call to mission. It takes a willing person. It takes a person who is willing to hear the claims of faith, the claims of Jesus, and to consider the alternatives, and to respond in faith to join Jesus in the mission of transforming the world for the glory of God. If Jesus could call a few common fishermen to the task of transforming this world, don't you think it is possible he could call you and me, as common and as ordinary as we are, and as unprepared, as untrained as we are? Think about that for a moment. If you're following me, the second point is missions is costly. Missions is costly. Another thing we learn from the scripture is that the call to missions is costly. The scripture says, follow me, and those words indicate imitation. Jesus was saying, do as I do, and I will show you what real fishing is. The mission Jesus was calling them was one of service and self-sacrifice. It was Jesus who would later take a bowl and a towel, stoop at his followers' feet and wash them as a servant. In the last few weeks, some of you have received these towels from our church, which scripture reference from John chapter 13, verses 14 to 17. I have this in my bathroom, in my bedroom, as a reminder of what we need to be: servanthoods, self-sacrifice. It was Jesus who laid aside the glory of the Father, humbling himself as a slave, and went obediently to the cross. The mission isn't an easy one. It isn't a popular one, and it won't necessarily be filled with friends and families cheering on us. But it is a mission that will change the world. One afternoon, author Patsy Claremont found herself on a plane sitting next to a young man. She writes, I had already observed something about this young man when I was being seated. He called me ma'am. At that time, I thought either he thinks I'm ancient, or he's from the South where they still teach manners, or he's in the service. I decided the latter was the most likely. So I asked, you in the service? Yes, ma'am, I am. What branch? Marines, he said proudly. Hey, Marine, where are you coming from? She asked. Operation Desert Storm, ma'am. No kidding. Desert Storm, how long were you there? I asked. A year and a half. I'm on my way home. My family will be at the airport. I then commented that he must have thought about returning to his family and home many times while he was in the Middle East. Oh, no, ma'am, he replied. We were taught never to think of what might never be, but to be fully available right where we were. Missionaries are very much like this Marine stationed in a battlefield. They never think of returning home, but to be fully available where God has called them to serve. In the battlefield, to win souls for the kingdom of God. A missionary in Africa was once asked if he really liked what he was doing. His response was shocking. Do I like this work? He said, no. My wife and I do not like dirt. We have reasonable, refined sensibilities. We do not like crawling into wild huts through goat refuse. But is a man to do nothing for Christ he does not like? God pity him if not. Liking or disliking has nothing to do with it. We have orders to go, and we go. Love constrains us. In scriptures we read earlier, Jesus was honest with those men. So let me be honest with you today. Part of my job to you as missions chairman is to constantly remind us of the mission we are on, with the task with which we have been entrusted by Christ himself. If I don't make you uncomfortable, I'm not doing my job. Honestly, I don't like making you uncomfortable, but we are all on a mission, and it's only possible when we know that it is costly. The third point I have in the bulletin is missions is intentional. Missions is intentional. The passage we read this morning also shows that these brothers were able to walk away from the family business at that moment because of the priority they gave to the kingdom. These brothers had a vision of something greater than themselves. Talk about the purpose-driven life. Jesus has shown them a glimpse of the promise of Messiah, and their hearts were filled with hope. The only response was to follow after the one who had given them that hope, the promise of the kingdom of God, and the necessity of sharing the hope with others became the priority of life. Jesus extends the call to us to join him in his mission of transforming the world. There are many of us who have answered the call to faith, but we haven't answered the call to the mission. We are afraid he might ask us to leave our homes, our jobs, our security, and go to some foreign mission field because we might think that's what mission is. For some of us, he might ask just that. The more likely proposition is that Jesus wants us to right here where we are. If you look at the latter life of these fishermen, we find that after crucifixion and resurrection, they're right back at doing what they were always doing, fishing. Most of them never ventured far from their homes nor gave up their trades. There is a story that Mark Twain loved to go fishing. I have a picture of him fishing. There you go. But he hated catching fish. He went fishing to relax, and catching fish ruined his relaxation, since he had to take the fish off the hook and do something with it. So when he wanted to relax by doing nothing, people thought he was lazy. But if he went fishing, he could relax all he wanted. People would see him sitting by the river and they would say, "Look, he's fishing, don't bother him." So Mark Twain had the perfect solution. He would take a fishing pole, a line and a bobber, but he wouldn't put a hook on the end. He would cast the bobber in the water and lay back on the bank. That way he could relax all he wanted and he wouldn't be bothered by man nor fish. Mark Twain is a lot like who have answered the call to faith, but haven't embraced the call to the mission. We have our pole in the water, but there is no hook on the end. We are not fishing, we are relaxing. I'm not sure that's what Jesus had in mind when he said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers for people." So how do we do this? First, share your faith. Mission starts from home. Tell people what you know. Share the gospel of the kingdom. If you're already doing it, continue to press on and share your faith with your neighbors, friends at work, family, and anyone you come across. Do not stop. Secondly, you can share your life. Model the faith. The only real way to make a disciple is to be a discipler. Our lives are the only Bible some people will ever read. Our lives are the only Bible some people will ever read. While we realize that we are not perfect, what we do does affect the lives of those around us. Thirdly, pray. Continue to pray for your neighbors, friends, or family who doesn't know the Lord. Also continue to keep our missionaries in your prayer. Remember the hardships they are facing every day. You can read about their ministry in our weekly newsletter in the church bulletin. Take it home and say a prayer for them. Fourth, give. Continue to be a cheerful giver unto the Lord's work. Statistics say that Americans give $700 million per year to mission agencies. However, they pay as much for pet food every 52 days. Last Christmas, a call was given to this church for the war victims in Ukraine, and we raised $30,000. Last October, we had a missionary from India, Sister Annie Moses, request for $8,000 to pay yearly rent for her church, and we raised that amount. Yesterday at the mission fair, every dollar that we raise will go directly to our missionaries who are working among the victims in Ukraine and Turkey. And lastly, how would you do it? Go. If you get a chance, please go on a mission trip, whether it's local, national, or international. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Not all are called to the mission field, but you can be a sender to a young missionary. As of today, Woodbridge Church proudly supports 33 missionaries and ministries across the globe. You can see the wall of missionaries we have outside this wall in the corridor. We have three missionaries serving in Philippines, Pastor Carlos, Brother Cirilo, and Pastor Godfrey. This includes a weekly feeding program in the largest slum in Southeast Asia, Payatas. We have two missionaries serving in India, Sister Annie Moses of Gospel Torch Charity Mission and Lori Overcash of Hope and Help International. We have two missionaries serving in Japan, Glenn Kennedy and Ken Taylor. We have one missionary serving in Mexico, Tim Nash. Tim assists our congregation when we do mission trips to the orphanage in Tecate. We have three missionaries serving amongst the college students locally, Justin Aaron McDonald's, Pet Francisco, both are from Bridges International Campus Crusade, and Keziah Mortis, who is a homegrown missionary from our church. We have two missionaries serving in Arizona and Europe, Gordon West and Allison Gibson, who most of you know is also one of our homegrown missionaries. We have one missionary serving in Hawaii, Eric and Lynn Taylor. We have our former pastor, Pastor David Beckwith, serving a ministry that is focused on ministering to pastors and church leaders. We support many local ministries such as Awana, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Christ Church in Los Angeles, CRU, InterVarsity. We have one missionary serving in Ukraine, Nick and Maya Mikhailuk. You can read about their stories in our newsletter this morning in your bulletin that is printed. This year, with your support, we have added three more missionaries to our list. Pastor Sabir Simon, he does ministry in the city of Lahore, Pakistan, amongst the Muslim population. Pastor Michael Fulner, he has a set up church in the Yalova region in Turkey. He's the one who's actually working among the earthquake victims right now. Larry and Helen Taylor, they're part of our Converge missionary group. They work in Southeast Asia. There are many more missionaries in this list that you can read in our weekly bulletin. Some of them, I cannot reveal their locations due to security reasons. This is where this church is heavily invested in, and this cannot be possible without your continuous support and prayer. And as your missions chairman, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Let me take you on a journey right now. Okay, as your missions chairman, it is my job to share with you what is happening in the globe with the missionaries we support monthly. Now, I will take you on a journey to the mission field around the globe, so buckle up and put on your seatbelt. Okay? What you see and hear in these next few minutes are the stories directly from the mission field. There are several battles these missionaries face every day. You will hear their spiritual, physical, and emotional battles. But more importantly, you will see how our God, as the commander-in-chief, is guiding and leading his Marines, his missionaries, in the battlefield. The first one is Pastor Bob Adhikari. He's a missionary in Nepal. A church supports this ministry, which is located in the foothills of Mount Everest in Nepal. Pastor Bob is involved in training local leaders and pastors, establishing small churches and villages. Here is a letter from Pastor Bob. I will read this to you. Thank you so much for your wonderful prayers and your faithful support. It makes a lot of difference in the spiritual kingdom when people pray. Here is Rabita. She is the sister of Surya Kala, which I have given her powerful testimony a few months back. She is the one when she was set free from demons and accepted Christ. Went around her whole village telling people about Jesus. She shook the whole village with the gospel and her testimony. Well, her story continues. After Surya Kala was delivered, the demons from her went to her father and mother. Then father and mother started to come to church and they were delivered and they accepted Christ. Then the demons that left them jumped on their son. The son was terrified. He also started coming to church and soon he was delivered from all the demons and he accepted Christ. Now the last one in their family was Rabita, who is in this picture. All the demons of their whole family jumped on her. But she was a very stubborn woman. It made her like a mad woman and made her depressed and suicidal. But she still didn't want to come to church. But finally, when it was too much to handle, she came to church and the demons manifested with loud voices. And Rabita was prayed for and every demon in hell were cast out from her and her whole family. She has now accepted Christ. Look at her. Look at the brightness of her in her face. Everyone in the church and in the village has seen the glow in her face, glow of Christ. Praise the Lord for this wonderful grace. Looks like the demons didn't have any other place to go after that. So, the next one is Pastor Benjamin Musyoka from Kenya. He's been here last year. Some of you have met him. Our church supports his ministry with, is involved in church planting, raising local Christian leaders and pastors, training and equipping them with Bibles to distribute among the locals. We also partner with him in a feeding program once a week in Nairobi. Here is a letter I would like to read from Pastor Benjamin in Kenya. During the past 2 months, we have been praying and hoping that the Lord will provide enough donations for the Africa Mission Training Institute project, as well as for a permanent worship facility for the Unia Worship Center. As you may remember, we have already gotten the land needed. The Lord also provided some of the funds to get us started with the construction work. During the past 3 weeks, we have been preparing to do a major evangelistic outreach in the area. Judith, his wife, has been coordinating the preparations on the ground as the host. We printed posters and invited every popular Christian singer, Zipporah Eric. to join in the open-air music concert for Friday and Saturday of May 26th and 27th. Yesterday, Judith and Zipporah agreed to print posters and moved quickly to do so. Before the end of the day, the posters were printed and ready to be placed in strategic places in Kitui town. Then this morning, Judith was in the bathroom taking shower. She slipped and fell. She got a fracture on her collarbone near the left shoulder joint. I took her to the hospital, and as she queued at the X-ray room at the hospital, Zipporah, the popular singer who was in another town, called to inform her that after they had agreed to produce and distribute the posters yesterday, she fell ill and she was taken to the hospital where she is admitted. It looks like the spiritual battle for the Unya village is a very serious one. This is where the head office of our ministry will be located after relocating for Nairobi. We want to saturate this area and Kitui town with the gospel. I later heard from Pastor Benjamin that they were able to reschedule the outreach in June. But do you see the kind of physical and spiritual battles they're facing in the mission field? Gospel Toss Charitable Mission, India. Our church supports this ministry started by late Pastor Joseph Moses in Vijayawada, India. We all are well versed with Pastor Moses as he used to visit our church frequently. He passed away in 2021 due to COVID, and his wife Annie and daughter Joni are taking care of the ministry. It is not the same as it was before. Annie's health is not doing well for the past few months as she has been diagnosed with heart ailment. Her daughter Joni, who miraculously survived a car accident last year, is also not doing well with her health due to the after effects of the accident. But they are still willing to continue God's work despite their own physical and emotional challenges they face every day. They have to raise $8,000 every year to pay the rent for the land they are leasing to run the church. Woodbridge Church raised that amount last year when I made that call from this pulpit. This year is another payment due. Here is a video of their visit to one of the newly built church in a tribal village few months after Pastor Moses passed away in 2021. You see the kind of emotional battle they are facing? We have Milad and Ruhafza and Pastor Michael Fuller in Turkey. We have two missionaries serving in Turkey. They both are heavily involved in the relief efforts right now for the earthquake victims. Milad and Ruhafza, they work mostly amongst the Iranian refugees in Turkey and share the gospel with them. They're also involved in raising their voice against the Iranian regime and the atrocities that are happening in Tehran. Let's hear from them.
Iranians on the streets are not against any religion. They're not against Islam. They're not against God. They're not against Christianity. They're asking and fighting for human rights, for the right that every people should have to decide what to wear. And it's bigger than just hijab issue. The whole system, the history of 43 years of this regime proved that Iranians don't want this regime to rule anymore. So many churches in the West are partnering with Iranian Christian to reach Iran for Christ, which I love, I appreciate, and that's great. But you know what? Iranian need to be alive first, then we can share the good news with them. When our Lord Christ is looking at us, He's not seeing us as American church, Iranian church, church in Europe, church in China. He sees church as his body. So whatever happening, mostly an injustice like this, should affect us as believers. Not just because they're Iranian Christian, because they're Iranian. And not just that, because they're human, those who are created in God's image.
So, Pastor Jonathan, I believe you met them last year, a couple of years ago. Pastor Michael Fulner, he first planted a church in Turkey after the 1999 earthquake, which killed nearly 70,000 people. Majority of his church congregations are refugees, mostly from Syria, Iran, Iraq, Kurdistan, Azerbaijan, Tajikistan, Bulgaria, and Turkey. He has plans to start a new church in the recently hit earthquake area in the eastern part of Turkey. Let's hear from him.
Hello, dear brothers and sisters. I would like to share what God is doing through the Lighthouse Earthquake Relief Ministry in Turkey and Syria, which you are supporting. And first of all, I want to thank you for your trust and for all your contributions that enable us to serve the people who are currently in a big need. So on the second day of the earthquake, teams from Antalya, from Tunceli, Erzincan, Yalova, they went straight to the earthquake, Istanbul, and immediately set up things to help. They didn't go empty-handed. They had a lot of things with them, like blankets and tents. And we are serving currently in four different places in Turkey. One is Gaziantep, where our Syrian pastor from Istanbul went to, and he is working together with the Arabic-speaking church in Gaziantep. Their building wasn't damaged, and this is kind of a base from where they go to different places, to villages where there is nothing. And he reported about a place where they put Syrian refugees together and where you can't go in without military support. But they allowed him to go in. We have official permission to serve in the earthquake area as a church. And he went there and served his fellow Syrians. But he's not stopping there. Many blankets, many tents, food, milk, diapers are distributed to the ministry of the Arabic-speaking refugees, both Syrian and Iraqis. And they are working in a wonderful way together.
Every dollar that we raised is going to be going over there. And by the way, Pastor Michael Fulner, he's from Germany. He has been living in Turkey for many years. And he was telling me that with the current conditions that's going on in Turkey, if he leaves Turkey to go back home, he won't be allowed to come back in. So technically, he's going to be staying there as long as he's needed. Let us hear from one more of our missionary in Japan, Pastor Glenn Kennedy.
My name is Pastor Glenn Kennedy. I'm a missionary in Japan with Christians in Actions Missions International. During my service in Japan, I founded an organization called Asian Relief and Medical Services. Over the past 25 years, ARMS has sent 1,700 people on short-term missions to preach the gospel of the kingdom. ARMS has provided medical and dental care for over 150,000 people in the 25 years that we have been conducting the mission. Additionally, we have given out Bibles, rice, vitamins, toothbrushes, and sandals to those in need at no charge to them. In our sharing the gospel of the kingdom, we have seen many healed and delivered, and over 70,000 salvations. At the end of every mission, we provide the results to our local pastors for follow-up, which results in building up their local churches. Our efforts have resulted in many church plants as well. When we have conducted our outreaches, it has enhanced the reputation of our local pastors and their churches with their communities. ARMS goes beyond just touching the lives of the receivers. It changes the lives of participants as well. As they share their testimonies and serve others, they witness the power of the cross firsthand. They see lives changed as well as theirs. Many walk away with a heart for mission.
It's good. Can you imagine a small church in the city of Irvine, California, is able to reach these people with the gospel of Jesus? Isn't it amazing to think that we are able to touch the lives of people in Japan, Tajikistan, Bulgaria, Azerbaijan? Chances are you and I will never experience what our missionaries experience in our lifetime. Chances are you and I will never preach or even talk to people like this in other countries. Chances are you and I will never deal with such extreme desperations. But how many of us will live with and work with and interact with on a daily basis people who are just as lost, who are just as hopeless, who are just as much loved and forgiven by God as this, and yet have no one to tell them? Is this not what Jesus meant when he said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men"? We as a church are doing this by following Christ together with our missionaries in the battlefield. I-320. Imagine 320, often spoken as I-320, is our church mission project that is taken from Ephesians 3:20. That verse has two main points that is part of the vision of I-320. The first is to help sponsor the education of children who are in poverty and can't imagine a life outside of being constantly hungry and without hope. The second is to connect sponsors here at the church and allow God's power to work within us and through us to help these children. I-320 currently works with Breakthrough Christian Academy in the area of Manila, Philippines, that used to be Metro Manila's main garbage dump. Families that live in this area, called Payatas, are the poorest of the poor, and for the last 16 years, BCA has been serving this community. This academy has been wonderfully successful in providing knowledge and opportunity through education, combined with wisdom and hope through faith in God. Many of their students have graduated and gone on to college and professions as teachers, nurses, and information technology, far more than these students could have imagined when they were children and without a vision or hope for their future. I-320 is entering its seventh year as a missions project and has grown consistently each year in the number of students sponsored. The 2022-2023 school year has just ended, had 73 students sponsored through I-320. This church oversees the project, and Jonathan Smith is the director of I-320. He and Mercy, his wife, will be in church next month to bring us information regarding I-320 and the opportunities to participate for the next school year, 2023 and 2024. The next one is Operations Christmas Child. Last year, this church was able to make 2,500 boxes, if I'm right, Doreen, for Operations Christmas Child. When you look at the size of this church, that is a big achievement. This week I was talking to Doreen, I'm putting in the spot, who's leading this ministry, and she said she already started shopping in Walmart and packing boxes for this year's Operation Christmas Child. Correct me if I'm wrong, I saw boxes out there already in the corridor, right, for Operation Christmas Child. So if you want to be proactive like her 5 months before, please reach out to her. Maybe you can spread your cost and make more boxes for this year. A couple of weeks ago, we had VBS. We had an amazing VBS at our church. Our children had so much fun, thanks to Sister Fina and Lynn, Chris, for leading the ministry. Thanks, and serving in the children is such an important thing, especially in the days we are living. The devil is coming after our children in every shape and form, and we need to stand firm in Christ to guide them. So at this year's VBS, these children were given a task to raise $500 to buy 20 pairs of shoes for the orphanage in Mexico. At the end of VBS, they raised $1,100 for that cause. Can we please give them a round of applause for the little ones? Yesterday we had a mission fair. We had a wonderful time yesterday. How many of you were here yesterday? I would like to take this opportunity and thank everyone who came and participated. I want to thank all the growth groups who came forward with their booths. This event wouldn't have been possible with few people in this church. And special thanks to Pastor Vince, Doreen, Millet, Mega, who worked tirelessly to plan this event. Also, we had a very special helper this week at church helping us carrying things around, arranging auction items, preparing small bowls for the auction items, and leaving notes for the staff. That is my little 9-year-old daughter, Rina. She comes to me last week and asks, "Papa, I want to help you for the mission fair. How can I help you?" Yesterday, when I was bringing her over to the mission fair, she was telling me that she wanted to take over from me when I grow old. So I think maybe I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I think she's saying, she's giving me suggestions, and she says that when I get to that position, I'll do it better. So at last night mission fair, we raised almost $6,000 in live auction, almost $700 in silent auction. We sold almost more than $4,000 worth of food and drinks token, plus a generous soul wrote a check for $5,000 to help the victims in Ukraine and Turkey. A total of approximately $16,000 was raised last night. If you miss participating in the mission fair, you can still write a check and drop it off in the offering box today. We have some more items from last night that will be displayed outside after service. You are more than welcome to buy these items at any price you feel like donating. Anything above $10 is the minimum. Every dollar we raise, as you've seen, is going to be going to Ukraine and Turkey. Lastly, I want to talk about our mission trips. I know Pastor Frank mentioned a little bit about it earlier. Starting this year, our church committee will be resuming mission trips, both local and international. I would like to encourage our congregation to join us in these trips with your family and friends. Come and serve the needy. See the challenges our missionaries are facing every day. Continue to invest yourself in what God has commanded us to do. On August 5th, as you can see in the flyer, Fina and myself will be leading a group of 30 to 35 members of our church to Mexico for a day trip. There's an orphanage across the border that some of you have already visited before. We will be going there with a list of things the orphanage director has requested, including the pair of shoes for the orphans that our children have raised them on. But more importantly, we'll be going there to share the love of Christ with those children. I have very limited slots available, so please sign up at the lobby today after the service. We will probably make another trip in winter between Thanksgiving and Christmas to the same orphanage. If you fail to get in the summer slot, I encourage you to still sign up today for the winter trip to Mexico. And please take the forms, fill it up, and you can bring it by next Sunday or the following Sunday. July 9th will be the last day to sign up. So stay tuned for more information. God willing, next year, 2024, I would like to take a small team internationally to either Turkey, Kenya, or Philippines, or maybe India. This is a great opportunity for you to join and bring your teenage kids and get them exposed to reality of the third world countries and show how privileged they are to be born in this country. Last mission trip that this church went was in 2018 in Philippines, if I'm right on that. Due to COVID, we couldn't travel after that. Many of you reached out to me about mission trips. I had one mother come and ask me to take her two teenage children to Mexico so they can see how it is over there and learn to be thankful to God for what he has provided for them. We think we go to mission field to bless them, but in return, we get blessed to see what is God doing in their lives. I hope that you like this journey I shared with you this morning. In conclusion, I want to read the scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It says, make the most of every opportunity. Sometimes you don't get a second chance. That's true of our mission to spread our faith. Doors open and they close. Friends and neighbors have tender moments when God has been working on them. They're looking for answers. They know they need something. They realize there had got to be more to life. Sometimes those opportunities come and go, never to appear again. We only go around once. We may never have another opportunity to point a friend towards Jesus. Life is short, both ours and the lives of those around us. People who tell themselves they will always have another chance to consider the destiny of their souls or share their faith with a friend are only mocking themselves. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. Our mission is urgent. When Jesus went up, the only thing he had on his mind was missions. He came as a missionary from heaven that he might make us missionaries for heaven. I've said this earlier last year too. Jesus Christ is the first missionary. In case anyone is still unclear about what missions has to do with you and me taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to every people, tribe, and nation on earth. It has to do with the command God has given us to preach the gospel, to make disciples around the world. Jesus indicated that this work was to begin at home in our own community and spread out from there. Pastor Jonathan, who was our missions chairman before me, coined this word for our missions community. He calls us mission movers. A church website reads this about Mission Movers. Mission Movers is a unit of Woodbridge Community Church who desires to passionately follow the great commission of our Lord Jesus and to be witnesses to our Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe missions is to practice it where you are, then God enables and empowers you to have the heart for the world. We encompass local, national, and international outreach and missions. Brothers and sisters, missions is not starting churches. Missions is not mailing checks. Missions is not a program. Missions is not a ministry of our church. It is the very purpose of our church. In the past few weeks, we have read through the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Each church was reviewed by God in different scales, and each church was given a title at the end. Some churches were doing good, some churches were doing bad, some churches were lukewarm. God gave reviews on these churches some 2,000 years ago, but they are so relevant in today's world. We at Woodbridge Church are not Mark Twain's sitting on the shore relaxing. We are a church that has a hook at the end of the line. We have been called to a mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Let us continue to be on the mission by sharing the gospel with the world. I would like to end with this question to you this morning. If God gives a review on Woodbridge Community Church, just as he has given review on those seven churches, what would it be? I would say, Church at Woodbridge, a mission-minded church. Let us close in prayer. Lord, as we come to the end of this time of reflection on missions, we thank you for the ways in which you have challenged and inspired us. We pray for all those who are involved in mission work around the world, for their safety and protection, and for the success of their efforts to share your love and grace with others. We ask that you continue to guide us in our own journeys of faith and show us how we can each play a part in supporting and participating in missions work. May we be motivated by your love and compassion for all people, and may we be open to the opportunities that you place before us. May our actions reflect the love and grace that we have received from you, and may we be a blessing to all those we encounter. I ask these few things in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.